We're going to be taking a look at the Lord's Prayer as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15. Matthew 6, 5 through 15, Jesus is teaching on prayer. And listen to what he has to say. As one who spoke and taught with authority. Matthew 6, 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. This then is how you should pray. And we're going to pray out loud the traditional prayer. There's two different renditions of it here in this translation, and it's not as common as what we know it, most of us know it, as the traditional. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then these words Jesus says after that Lord's Prayer, verse 14, Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a pretty blatant truth. We know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Sometimes we say it as forgive us our debts as we forgive those who as we have forgiven our debtors. A past tense, interesting statement. Asking God or forgive us our, and we taught our children the Lord's Prayer this way, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It was simpler, maybe more clearly understood by children, we felt. But asking God and trusting God, the first part of this phrase in the scripture, asking God and trusting God to forgive us our sins is one of the most important short prayers that you can ever pray. It's profound. It's simple in some ways. I mean, it's a simple statement. But it is one of the most neglected truths in the Christian life. And yet, one of the greatest truths of Scripture. Profound. Profound. To err is to forgive is divine. I looked up the background for that. All people commit sins and make mistakes. God forgives them, and people are acting in a divine or godlike way when they forgive. This saying is from an essay on criticism by Alexander Pope. And it's probably one of the most quoted things that we hear, even today, written many years ago. The importance of forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer that he taught to his disciples, and I've been advocating all the way along, that it really wasn't a prayer for the Lord, it was a prayer for his disciples. And yet we call it the Lord's Prayer because it was the prayer that he prayed or taught his disciples to pray. For if you forgive men when they sin against you. This is Jesus speaking here. And he's addressing his disciples after teaching the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's kind of like the statement that the Apostle John makes in 1 John when he says, if you say you love God but hate your brother, the truth is not in you. You know, how can you say you love God and yet hate your brother? And it's this idea that how can you say that or come before God and ask him to forgive you of your sins when you are not willing to forgive people who have sinned against you? That seems to be the rationale. And it's difficult. And I want to tell you, we do a lot to try to rationalize away why we cannot forgive somebody else, even though we know we need God to forgive us. You know, and I have just heard that over and over again in the 40 years that I've pastored. I have heard people I remember in the first church I pastored as a lead pastor, I remember having to confront a dear lady who was just so angry and resentful and bitter towards another lady in the church, and for 20 some years they had this grievance against each other. And I watched in the first year. It just shocked me. It just blew my mind to realize that they would not ever greet each other on a Sunday morning. And in a little wee small church, there was only two ways to go. You had to go to the back of the church or the front of the church to get out of the church. And they would go in opposite directions every Sunday. And I thought, man, life, what's going on here? And I began to pray about it, you know. And man, Lord, will you help these two ladies to get together? And I remember going to the one lady and confronting her with this very verse 14:15 from Matthew chapter 6. I said, what do you do with that? And I can just see it. I remember it. She just looked at me and she said, you don't know what that lady has done to me. And I could never forgive her. And I know that God understands. What do you say to that? You know. But dear people, I just have to get heart to heart here. There are many of us that are sitting here this morning that have unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts. And yet we will read this passage of Scripture and we'll say, well, you know, it really doesn't apply in my situation because, you know, God understands how much I hurt misused by this person that I cannot forgive. And we rationalize away the mandate of Scripture, the truth of Scripture that we are to forgive in the light of how badly we have been hurt. And it's a serious, serious matter. It's a very serious matter. The Scripture is full. It's just full of verses where we are given the mandate and express the importance of forgiveness. I'm just going to rattle off a few right off here. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, hallelujah, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're all for that, amen? Every one of us better be all right for that. Ephesians 1:7, in him, Jesus. In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of his grace. Amazing grace. Amen. How's it go? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a good person like me. I once, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. I want to tell you, if we did not have his amazing grace, we would be lost. And if you have not experienced his amazing grace, you're lost. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Look, he set us the example and forgave us. And then this is amazing. And I mean, we've had a lot of time to enjoy this year because of the long winter. But when God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as what? Snow. That's one reason he extended our winter, I think, this year. So we would have a greater appreciation for the whiteness that he wants us to have in our life, the cleanness. Wow. White as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The forgiveness of God is one of the greatest, most hopeful, wonderful, inspirational truths in all of the Bible. You know, I don't know about you, but I really have never gotten over the fact that God, in his love for me, even though he knows me, loves me and offers to me and wants to reason with me forgiveness. Powerful. Powerful. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. That's the precedent. That's the example. That's what he set before us. We're to forgive as he forgives. So you also must forgive. Matthew 18:21-22, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? That's pretty good, isn't it? You know the idea? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Boy, his math is, wow, different than mine. Wow. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your sins. Psalm 103, verse 12. Last year we memorized this psalm as a congregation. As far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our transgressions from us. Isn't that a hopeful verse? Isn't that an inspirational verse? When you're down on yourself, when you're feeling discouraged or maybe defeated, or you know you've blown it, you've messed up, you've sinned. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can come with great courage before an almighty holy God? We've been singing about the holiness of God, and we can ask him to forgive us. And that he wants to forgive us. That it's his will to forgive us. His desire is to have us experience what it's like to be forgiven by him. You know, there's all kinds of great, great, great quotes about forgiveness. And I just Googled and come up with a few. Two of my favorite people. I know God doesn't have favorites, but you know the rest of us do lots of times. Anyway, Martin Luther King Jr. He said this, and I'm quoting: "We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us, and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies." He went on to say, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And as I was reading online, a number of powerful illustrations, the stories of forgiveness, I came across a number, and I just don't have time this morning to share them, but a number of stories where somebody wronged somebody in a huge way, and the person that was wronged reached out in the love of Christ to them, and they became friends. Tremendous. And then Corrie Ten Boom. We know about Corrie. Probably most of you know about Corrie Ten Boom. A lady who was raised in a family where they tried to protect their Jewish friends and take them in. And they were arrested. And she was, with her sister, sent to a concentration camp. And her life is a powerful testimony to the power of forgiveness. But she has some powerful insights because of her walk with the Lord. She said, "Don't bother to give God instructions. Just report for duty." She says, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest." Powerful. I love this one, and it's probably one of her most quoted quotes. God takes our sins, the past, the present, and the future, and he dumps them in the sea and puts up a sign that says, "No fishing allowed." That's the way that God forgives. It's so true. Now, as we prepare to fellowship around the Lord's table, we are acknowledging that the greatest example, the greatest story of forgiveness is when God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's forgiveness at its best. And that's a powerful illustration of how God, in his holiness, and yet in his love for unholy people, reaches down and sends his Son to die on the cross in their place, so that they can be forgiven and cleansed of their sin. That's the good news. And as a resurrected Lord Jesus, he has the power to change our lives and to set us free from our sin. That's powerful. I want to play a YouTube video, Corrie Ten Boom, How to Forgive. Some of you have probably seen it before. It's a classic. And I want to play it, and then we're going to go right into communion. Let me just say this. You do not have to be a member of the Lakeshore Missionary Church in order to partake of the emblems, the bread and the cup. But it is important that all of us know Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord, and that we are living in an up-to-date relationship with him. And let me just say this. I feel prompted to say this. If the Holy Spirit is showing you right now that there is an issue of unforgiveness in your life, this is a time to deal with it. This is a time to come before him in all honesty and say, "Lord, I'm not going to keep on rationalizing away why I don't forgive somebody. I am not going to harbor my bitterness and my resentment. I'm going to trust that your Holy Spirit will shed abroad in my heart the love of God. And you'll, in a very special way, enable me to forgive here today someone who's done something to me, or for whatever reasons, I have a hard time loving and forgiving." Let's listen to this, Corrie Ten Boom, How to Forgive.